This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Unaware of the protection and the privilege that it enjoys, that it never sees what passes for justice and democracy. In any case, so we have the Joint Terrorism Task Force reporting in that there's nothing to report. Why? Because they're secret, of course. You wouldn't want the terrorists to get wind of it, would you? And far off in Afghanistan, a world away, and in the middle of the night, villagers hide outside their homes to escape the relentless airstrikes from U.S. drones. And from the Guns Gone Wild Department, elected representatives are home on spring break, and they're hearing from angry constituents demanding tougher gun laws. We'll catch up with the National Weather Service and the alternative lunar forecast later on, if we have time. It's far more important right now to speak with Kevin Gastola with Fire Dog Lake. The issue that I had originally asked if Kevin would like to talk about is this no-fly list the ACLU in Oregon is going after the powers that be and demanding a few answers. At the same time, in Chicago, teachers are marching the streets alongside the parents and students of schools that are going to be closed, mainly in minority neighborhoods. And the teachers' union and parents as well are calling for return to the schools in September, whether they're closed or not, show up. It's a wonderful tactic. And I'm very pleased to welcome Kevin to the KBOO Airwaves. Thanks, Kevin, for being with us today.
Hello.
Hi, thanks so much for being with us. So I'm very interested in following the Chicago Public Schools story. You've been reporting consistently on that, and we've been following the tweets that you've been generating, and I want to thank you for that. I want to talk today, though, about this American Civil Liberties Union, and it's the first of a kind lawsuit. They filed a motion seeking a ruling from a federal district court in Oregon on the constitutionality of the secret no-fly list. The ACLU argues that the list violates citizens' Fifth Amendment right to due process. It does. And it violates a whole cascade of other rights, too. It also keeps people who travel and or who would like to travel in a state of constant anxiety, because when you leave, you don't know what's going to happen to you at the border as you exit, and then you never know whether you could get back in. So what is the ACLU, what have they amassed as far as their case? Yeah.
I'm sorry?
What is the ACLU amassed? What have they put together in order to confront the federal government on the secret no-fly list?
Yeah, so they have 15 people who are citizens or lawful residents of the United States who are actually on the list by traveling. You know, you're not notified if you're put on the list. Basically, you travel, and then you have the trauma of finding out from someone in security that you're not going to be able to fly, and then you have to go from there and decide what to do. So these individuals, I think some of them even with military backgrounds, have been unable to use their freedom to travel, and they're challenging the list because it's a secret blacklist, and there's no way to challenge it, and there's no means of due process set up right now for individuals to be informed of their placement or to challenge their placement to get a fair hearing in any sort of a court on whether they in fact should be on the list.
So before you travel, one cannot find out whether one is likely to be stopped at the border. And what about people overseas? Do we have any idea how many people who are more or less stranded in limbo overseas who cannot return to the United States and had no idea that this was going to happen to them?
There are cases like that, and in those cases, I know there's a recent case of someone who was in Mexico and could not fly. That person just went over the border on, I guess, ground transportation in a car or another vehicle, and I believe managed to get back in. But that is what you have to do, or you arrange to go by boat. But even in two cases that the ACLU is aware of, people were prevented from getting on boats because they were on the no-fly list. So it's not limited to air, and so you have this big issue of not being able to challenge the fact that the U.S. is depriving you of the freedom to travel. And keep in mind that they share this list with other countries, and those countries can choose to put those people on lists that would prevent them from traveling.
What evidence actually is there that that this is an effective means of preventing terrorism or preventing people from being injured? What is the evidence that this is a great idea?
There's none. There's no evidence at all. And basically, the executive branch gets to run this through the Terrorist Screening Center, and the Transportation Security Administration gets to handle people who claim that they shouldn't be on the list, and they get to do this for the most part without Congress exercising any meaningful oversight. And they just, it's going to take this case from the ACLU to really rein it in, because they've claimed an authority that they really should not have. And I think especially if they're not going to give people a means to challenge their placement on the list.
We're pretty much out of time at the moment, but just very briefly before we let you go, I want to let people know that I'm speaking with Kevin Gostola with Fire Dog Lake, and there's a lot happening in Chicago today, so I would certainly want to commend everybody's attention to the Fire Dog Lake and some of the there's more on this too. Kevin has more on the ACLU's lawsuit at the website. Just very briefly, why is this considered first of its kind lawsuit?
I think it's because they're going to be able to do it on the merits.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be able to challenge the constitutionality.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much. This has been wonderful to speak with you, and I want to catch up with you again to talk more about the Chicago Public Schools story as well. Just briefly then to dash through news around Cascadia, because that's what we do here. The sea lions are still being branded, basically set on fire. That's wonderful. Yes, indeed. Let's set them on fire. We'll brand them all. And that ought to make things safe for salmon. Moving right along, a federal grand jury has indicted 10, count them, 10 current or former managers and supervisors from a contractor at Hanford. That's just great. So not only are they incompetent, but they're also criminals. And Florida, ate this, finally, at last, the Sierra Club and three other environmental groups have come out, clearly say that they oppose a ballot measure to add fluoride to Portland's drinking water. There's already enough chemicals in the water. We wonder why things are haywire with the environment. All you have to do is turn on the tap and take a whiff. We don't need it. That's essentially the message from the environmental groups, is that we don't need any more chemistry. And the Longshore Union is looking at the idea of arbitration. Miss Columbia Grain, there is money at stake here, and of course there is rights of workers. Labor is really on the back foot and has been for a couple of decades at least in this country, and it's no accident. It has been a very carefully planned campaign. Joint Terrorism Task Force, more on that later. And lawmakers are getting an earful from workers and retirees who were led to believe that they would have something to retire on when they left the workforce, and now it's being snatched right out from under them. Drone strikes in Afghanistan, and much, much more. We'll try to put that on the KBOO website, /Cascadia. It's time to talk with them. Let's see, with Will and with Carlos Chavez. They are fellow volunteers. They are KBOO members. Don't forget, listening does not pay the bills. We're really, really happy that you listen. And at the same time, we are a community. This is community radio. The only way that we can stay independent is with your help. And we're so pleased to have Carlos and Will here to explain exactly how to do that.
That's right. Thank you, Chris. If you call us at 877-500-5266, that's 877-500-KABU, you can call up right now and donate whatever you feel you can afford. If you want to be a sustaining member, we would certainly appreciate that. $5 a month or $10 a month, whatever you feel you can afford, or even a one-time donation. Please call us at 877-500-5266.
Yeah, and Will's being pretty friendly over here. I think, you know, I'm going to be a little more assertive.
It's a good cop, bad cop scenario.
Yeah. We're trying to work it. But we really need you to call in right now. We need you to pick up the phone. There are many of you out there who are listening who may be thinking about, you know, picking up the phone and becoming a member.
Come on, you know you want to pick up that phone.
Some of you have probably thought about it for quite some time. Now's the time to do it. You can put it off. You can, you know, if you do that, you're going to end up just continuing to put it off.
But now's the time to seize the moment. Seize the moment. And call us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. I got to tell you how much work people put into creating these shows that you folks are getting to listen to. Because, I mean, I know how hard Chris Andre works. I know how hard Linda Olsen-Osterlund works. I know how hard Teresa works. I mean, all these people are working so hard to bring you these terrific shows that really do offer you a unique perspective on the issues and the things that are going on in your community and in our community. And you can be part of this community by calling us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABU. My man Carlos here, the cruel, rough one, is going to tell you more about how you should donate and what is available if you do donate.
Well, I mean, we've got a whole bunch of different types of gift items that you can get, but that's not why you become a member. You become a member because you want this to be a sustainable program. You want this to be independent. The reason that it is independent is because we have folks like you who basically step up and chip in and do their piece to help this this radio station continue to flourish and continue to provide the type of programming that we provide on a regular basis. So please do that. Pick up the phone. We really need to hear some phones ringing. 877-500-5266.
Spring Membership Drive, KABU Navigator Report. KABU has embraced becoming a media hub, a regional community resource dedicated to providing access and programming that fulfills the art and education needs of our vast, multicultural Cascadia region. This is a huge undertaking, and one that we are beginning now. We are reaching out to other community radio stations, small local newspapers, and the community access television stations. We are discussing how to better serve our communities, leverage resources, and share our skills and services. That is why we need you now to become a member and pledge your financial support to KABU. You can have a part in this vision. You can help create a community media network with KABU at the helm, a network that includes a remote KABU office in Salem with a reporter who daily covers what is happening in our state government, more rural and isolated communities being served with local access to the media, and in the end, a truly informed and participatory democratic region. Please become a member today. Your dollars will help support the revitalization of KABU now and into the future. Thank you. Your donations are greatly appreciated. This has been Lynn Fitch, KABU Navigator.
This is Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, we'll have an update on the stop-and-frisk lawsuit known as Floyd v. City of New York.
5 million unconstitutional frisks later, the lawsuit is finally going to court. Hopefully, it will end this nightmare, particularly for young African Americans and Latinos.
Attorney Martin Garbus will join us to give us an update on the case of the Cuban Five.
More and more revelations about how the United States paid journalists who then wrote propaganda to try and convict, unfortunately successfully, the Cuban Five.
We'll talk with Attorney Flint Taylor from Chicago about the latest update in the long-running saga of the Chicago police torture cases.
Someday, somewhere, we'll be able to give you the news. Former Mayor Daley will actually show up at his deposition on what he knew and why he didn't do anything about police torture in Chicago. Today's not the day.
Stay with us.
I'm New York City attorney and author Michael Smith.
I'm Heidi Boghossian, executive director of the National Lawyers Guild.
And I'm Michael Ratner, president emeritus of the Center for Constitutional Rights. Here on Law and Disorder, we've been covering the stop and frisk case known as Floyd v. City of New York and the New York Police Department. This is a federal class action lawsuit challenging New York City Police Department's practice of stopping and frisking hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers each year. Some 5 million within the last few years. The high majority of the stop and frisks are against Latino and African Americans. It's taken the Center for Constitutional Rights, along with its allies, a group called Communities United for Police Reform, many years to bring this case to trial. It's an historic moment for challenging these practices in New York, and a precedent that will hopefully lead to ending this practice not only here in New York, but throughout the country. The trial began last week in federal court in Manhattan. It will last some 4 to 6 weeks. Today we get an update from CCR spokeswoman and director of their education program, Annette Dickerson.
Annette Dickerson, welcome to Law and Disorder.
Thank you.
Now, we've followed the Floyd v. City of New York case, the stop and frisk case as we call it, and understand that lawyers from the Center for Constitutional Rights were in court last week. Can you tell us what happened and what's the issue?